Okay, it's the second commandment, which is, do not bow down to any idol or worship it, because I am the Lord your God and I tolerate no rivals. Okay, and in a moment, John's going to come and do a Bible reading and you're going to hear exactly what the Israelites were up to.
And the reading is from Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 to 5. When the people saw that Moses had not come down from the mountain, but was staying there a long time, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, "We do not know what has happened to this man Moses, who led us out of Egypt. So make us a god to lead us." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold earrings which your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their gold earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took the earrings, melted them down, and poured the gold into a mold and made a golden bull calf. The people said, "Israel, this is our God who has led us out of Egypt." Then Aaron built an altar in front of the gold bull and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to honour the Lord."
As I said earlier, today we're going to be looking at the second commandment. The second commandment being, do not bow down to any idol or worship it. And for many of the Ten Commandments, it's really easy to see how they relate to life. Okay, so things like don't steal or don't lie or don't commit murder, they obviously still apply. Okay, even somebody that doesn't believe in God will recognise that they're good rules. But the second commandment is a bit trickier. It comes from a different time and a different place, and it's not really clear what it's got to do with our life today. When we think of an idol today, we're probably thinking of a celebrity or a famous person, maybe a sports star or a movie star. And we talk about idolising people that we look up to, like a big brother or a dad. But in the Old Testament, an idol was not a person, it was a thing. An idol was an object, usually a statue, that people made, and then they worshipped it as if it was a god. And doing that was called idolatry. We sometimes sort of get tempted by some of the other of the Ten Commandments. We find it difficult sometimes not to lie, okay, or not to steal, or not to be jealous of other people. But mostly, we don't find it difficult not to melt down our jewellery, make a statue, call it God and worship it, okay? So it would be quite easy for us to laugh at the Israelites, to look at a picture like this and laugh at them. But what we need to understand is that idolatry is more than just worshipping statues. In our country today, we don't worship statues and images, but that doesn't mean that we never commit idolatry. Let me explain. On the screen now, you're going to see a picture of a lady. Does anyone know who this is? One or two people. Let's have another picture that will help a few of you. Okay, this is an older picture. Who is it? Twiggy. It's Twiggy, yes. Now, Twiggy was a famous model and actress in the 60s and 70s, which is when my mum and dad were young. And this picture in the bottom left-hand corner is what she looked like in the 60s, and these other two are more recent pictures of her. I think she's about sort of early 60s, maybe 62 now. Okay, now here is another recent picture of Twiggy. Okay, and you might notice that that picture looks different than the other two. Okay, and that's because that picture has been airbrushed. Okay, that photograph was taken by a company making face cream. Okay, and they thought that their face cream would sell a bit better if they changed the picture. Okay, you can do that to a photo. You can airbrush it you can make skin lighter or darker. You can wipe out spots or wrinkles, and you can change bits of the face or the body to make them bigger or smaller. And that's just what this company did. Okay, and they produced this photo because they thought it would help to sell their face cream, but it didn't really look like Twiggy. And because of that, the advert actually got banned because it turns out that you can't say, use our face cream and you will look like this, if you have taken what a person looks like and changed it. And I think idolatry is a little bit like airbrushing. When I was in school, when I was in year two, we did a class project. Everybody had to draw pictures, all different pictures, and then I was given the job of cutting the pictures out so they could be stuck on the wall. It was an important job, and I was really pleased that I got it. But as I was cutting out the pictures, some of the pictures had sticky out bits that were fiddly. I thought it would be too difficult to cut round them, so I just cut them off. Some of the pictures had bits that weren't very good, I didn't think. I didn't think they looked very good. So I cut them off too. Okay? And I got into a lot of trouble because they weren't my pictures to change. And I really upset the children because I'd ruined the picture that they'd made. And I think sometimes we do that to God. We find things about God that we don't like the look of. Maybe parts of the Old Testament that we find sort of difficult to understand. Maybe rules or commands that we don't think should apply to us. Okay? We find bits that are fiddly and we cut them out or we airbrush them. And what we're doing is we're saying to ourselves, perhaps God didn't really make the world from nothing by himself, or God didn't really send those plagues into Egypt, or God doesn't really mind if I cheat in my test or lie on my CV. And what we're doing is we're airbrushing God. We're cutting bits out. And when we do that, we're doing just the same as the Israelites, because we're changing God from what we know he is into what we might like him to be. For the Israelites, they've been slaves of the Egyptians for generations, hundreds of years. Okay, and eventually, after years and years of waiting, Moses came, and with the help of God, Moses set them free from slavery and led them out of Egypt. But now, they were in the desert. They felt lost. They felt worried. They didn't know where their next meal was coming from. And to make it worse, Moses had disappeared up the mountain to be with God, and no one had seen him since. And the Israelites got impatient. Put up your hand if you sometimes get impatient. Yes, I do too. The Israelites got impatient. And when they got impatient, they said to Aaron, "We do not know what has happened to this man Moses who led us out of Egypt, so make us a god to lead us." You see, God was unpredictable and hard to understand, but the golden calf was straightforward. They could see it. They could touch it. They could walk all the way around it. They could control it. They could worship it on their terms. Now today, in many, many ways, we are much more advanced than the Israelites. But God is still unpredictable and hard to understand. And like the Israelites, we still cast God in an image that makes us feel more comfortable. If we look on, keep looking at what the Israelites did in the desert, we see that something else is going on as well. Because when the Israelites worshipped the golden calf, they were ascribing God's glory to something else. And that's a bit like taking God's crown and giving it to something else. Now, there's an image to help you. I wasn't really sure how to represent God in a talk on not making images of God. So I've gone with a circle with the word God in it. Okay, that represents God. And the crown represents his glory, his love and his power. The Israelites knew all about God's glory and God's love and God's power because they'd seen it when he led them out of Egypt. God had to send 10 plagues to Egypt before the Pharaoh would let the Egyptians go free. And then God parted the Red Sea so that the Israelites could walk through safely while the Egyptian soldiers were chasing them. Okay, he did quite a lot of quite big miracles to get them out of Egypt. But now, in the desert, they've forgotten. They forgot that it was God who'd done all those things for them. And they said, this is our God who led us out of Egypt. They said that about the bull calf statue that they'd made. And what they were doing is they were forgetting that God had done all that, and they were giving God's crown of glory to the golden bull calf. Now, we don't give God's crown or his glory to golden statues. But we do sometimes give it to other things. Sometimes we give it to toys. We say, more toys will make me happy or content. And grown-ups do this too. They just have different toys. Sometimes we say, money will give me security. Sometimes we say, having a boyfriend or girlfriend or getting married will make me complete. Sometimes we say that being popular or attractive will make me valuable. But it's God who makes us complete and gives us security. It's God who gives us contentment and gives us our value. There's nothing wrong with having toys or money or being popular or attractive or having a boyfriend or girlfriend. But when we give these things more credit than they deserve, we are making them into idols, just like the Israelites with the golden calf. And in fact, rather than laugh at the Israelites, I think we should give them a break. Because actually, you could almost forgive the Israelites for making an idol, because they really had never seen God. In those days, God only showed himself to a few really special people. Moses was allowed to go up the mountain and see God, but the rest of the Israelites had to wait at the bottom. For most of them, God really was far off and out of reach. They had no personal relationship with him. For us today, we don't have that excuse, because we can know what God is like by looking at Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the perfect image of God. And we can look at that image to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of making idols. Whereas the Israelites had to wait at the bottom of the mountain, through Jesus and his Holy Spirit, God invites us up the mountain. He invites us to be close to him and have a relationship with him. And I don't know about you, but I know I often forget what a privilege that is.